Earlier this week, we had the opportunity to learn several pieces from the Kedushas Levi on Parshas Baal Oscha. And as we continue to prepare for Shabbos Baal Oscha Tavshin Ayin Ches, I want to learn two lengthy pieces that are printed towards the end of the section of the Kedushas Levi on Baal Oscha. We start with a piece with the Dibur HaMaschil, Ve'yomer Adoni Moshe Kila'im. We know that in Parakir Aleph, Yoshua informs Moshe Rabbeinu that there's a problem brewing amongst the camp of Klal Yisrael, that Eldad and Medad are out prophesying, and when Yeshua gets the report from an unidentified young person, Yeshua comes to Moshe and he says, Moshe, Vayomer Adoni Moshe Kila'im, Moshe, we need to restrain them, we need to hold them back, we need to stop these prophets from emerging. And Moshe, interestingly enough, responds, Vayomer lo Moshe, Moshe says back to Yeshua, I disagree. Umi yitim kol am Hashem devim. Halavai, everyone should be a Navi. Halavai, everyone should be a Navi. So the Berditchever has a fascinating piece here, an amazing piece. Really a piece which is, on the one hand, appears to be a deep explanation of Psukim and a Sugya with regard to Yemos HaMashiach, but it's really a tefila. I really believe that the Berditchever shared this Torah as a tefila for us and a limud zchus for us to make sense of some of the tzaros and to avoid some of the tzaros that unfortunately are predicted through the various Nevi'im of Tanakh. He says as follows, Hinei tzadikim yecholim levatel ha'gzeira ulafoch meira letova. We know that the tzadikim have the ability to overturn a gzeira and to turn something which appears to be negative into something positive. The tzadik has the ability to be mevatel Hashem's gzeira. That's the Gemara in Moed Katan Tezayin that the Berditchever quotes very often. Uve'emes einim yecholim levatel ha'gzeira. Rakol zman shelo nichtav hanavua me'agzeira behanavi. But that's only true, says the Berditchever, as long as that nevuah has yet to be recorded. That as it's still yet to be recorded, it's able to be negotiated, it's able to be reassessed. Avalum kvar nichtav hanevuah, but a nevuah that has already been recorded, azai iafshar levatel, kedei shelo yomru sheker nive hanavi v'kasav. Because once it's already, so to speak, in print, so then there's a danger of God forbid, reassessing the nevuah, which would lead us to the conclusion that perhaps this Navi is not an authentic Navi. So seemingly, once it's written, it's locked in, and it's no longer able to be negotiated. So if that's true, that any Nevuah that's already in print is no longer, again, there was countless Nevuahs throughout the history, and there were countless Nevi'im that prophesied throughout our people's history, which were not recorded. The question is, if so, those that are recorded seem to be non-negotiable. Well, why is that important to us? Says the Berditchever, Hinei l'chora eich yecholin l'spal levatel chevle Mashiach haksuvim banavi. So if so, how can it be that we daven that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should spare us from the chevle Mashiach if after all the chevle Mashiach are already in print? It's printed, it's recorded in the Navi. It doesn't seem like there's much room to daven that it should be overturned once it's already been entered into the Nevi'im. Rakateres, but the answer perhaps is as follows. The Rambam in Sefer Hamada, towards the end of Hilchos Tshuva, as well as in Hilchos Malachim, towards the end of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes, She'ein muvan mehanavim echia kodem biasagol b'mper b'yamenu. It's not particularly clear from the Navi exactly how the end of days is going to unfold. It's not particularly clear. And the Rambam has interpretations, and other Rishonim have interpretations, and the Rambam discourages us from analyzing it almost too much, and certainly discourages us from predicting the dates of Mashiach. Many of the psukim are shrouded in tremendous mystery, and that, says the Berditchever, actually works to our advantage. Because the fact that the psukim themselves are not so clearly understood allows us to say that even though it's written down, well, it's not really finalized because we don't even know what it says. So since it's not entirely clear what or how or in what capacity the Chevli Mashiach are going to take place, so that gives it a certain fluidity that allows us to daven that it should be overturned. Since it's not 100% explicitly clear in the writings of the Nevi'im. So if that's true, so says the Berditchever, look at this brilliance, says the Berditchever, Mimanavshach. Let's work it out like this. If we view it as if it's not written down at all, and everything is just being hinted to, then there's still room to negotiate, that it's not set in stone, so to speak. And there's room to daven that it should be negated, it should be overturned. The gezeira is still taking on form, and therefore it's able to be overturned. And if it's already considered to be recorded, if it has a more solid form, we could argue that nonetheless we don't understand the words of the Nevi'im. When Mashiach comes, obviously we'll come to an understanding of the words of the Navi. And then we will come to an understanding as Mashiach will teach us the Psukim. So how does that help us? So we're ignorant about reading the text, and therefore what? And that becomes a Pesach for us to escape. So listen to what he says. He says, even if we find out that Mashiach comes and tells us, in fact, yes, these were Psukim that predicted the Chevle Mashiach, Halo Kishiyavo Mashiach Tzidkenu, Kol Yisrael Yu Nevi'im. We don't have to worry about that concern of it looking, reflecting poorly for Nevi'im. You know why? K'mayim Rakosuv, V'nivu B'neichem V'noseichem, Kulam Yedu. The Navi in Yoel says that in the future, V'nivu B'neichem V'noseichem, everyone's going to be on the Madrega of Nevuah. And therefore what? Nimtza anu yecholin lavakish levatavosam. So then we'll be able to daven to overturn even those prophecies that are set in stone. Ki kev and shiu kol Yisrael Nevi'im, because if it's a time period where in fact every Jew is a Navi, az ein chashash shayomer sheker niveh Navi, so then there's no misunderstanding. There's no concern of a regular person accusing the Navi of prophesying falsely when he sees that it didn't come true. He'll understand that the Navi prophesied correctly, and we were able to overturn that Nevuah through the power of our tefillah. And as long as everyone understands that, so then there's no concern of the Navi Sheker, or the falsely accused Navi Sheker. Cave and Chu Kol Yisrael Nevi'im, since everyone knows the truth of the matter. Yedu Shabbat Nive Hanavi, and then everyone will know that in fact the Navi did issue a Gezerah, and it was recorded, it was the Chavli Mashiach, Rakshat Tzadikim Shayu Bedor Kodem Biasagawel Bitlu Zagezerah, but they'll come to an understanding, it'll be known to all, that the Tzadikim must have overturned the Gezerah, and that's why it didn't come to be. So the Navi, in fact, was a true Navi, and the Tfilos were successful, and there's no room for confusion because everyone now is a Navi and has the bigger picture, and it works out perfectly. So this is exactly, says the Berditchever, the conversation, the cryptic between the lines, so to speak, of the conversation between Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua sees Nevi'im running in the camp, prophesying new ideas. What was the nature of their prophecy? We'll see in a second. V'nei Yoshua amar l'Moshe kila'eim. Yoshua says to Moshe, kila'eim, restrain them, hold them back. Stop these Nevi'im from prophesying. Yishum shenivu Moshe meis Yoshua machnis. Because these Nevi'im were prophesying that what? That Moshe is going to die, and Yoshua is going to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And certainly that's not something that Yoshua wanted to become reality. U'levatel i'efshar. And to negate such a thing would become impossible. Now, it says in my edition here of Kedushas Levi, Kan Chaser. We're missing a little bit of the text here. So again, I'm not 100% sure that that's true, but assuming for a second that we're missing, let's try to understand it. Machmas Shenichta B'Torah. Again, I'm not sure exactly what's Chaser, what we're assuming is Chaser, but apparently some editions felt that some words had been removed. Again, I'm not sure, but we can read it. We can read it the way we have it printed in front of us. That again, that these prophets were prophesying. And Yeshua says we need to stop them because they're saying Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to take us into Eretz Yisrael. And if that's being printed in the Torah, if that nusach, so to speak, is being recorded, that their prophecies are taking form, so then we have a serious problem. But Moshe Rabbeinu says there's no problem here. L'zeh amar lo Moshe, miyitin kol ha'am Hashem Nevi'im. Moshe says, no, halavai, everyone should be a Navi. Why? Because if everyone's a Navi, then even if the Gezerah is true, even if these are Nevi'ei Emes speaking on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if the Gezerah is such that I'm not supposed to take us into Eretz Yisrael, well, then we could daven to have it overturned. Once it's written down, I thought you're not able to overturn it. That's only if there's a concern that there's going to be a misunderstanding. But if Moshe's hope is answered, that all of the Jewish people become Nevi'im, then again, like we explained before, there's no room for a misunderstanding. Klomar, kishu kol Yisrael Nevi'im az yichol nevat l'gzeira. Moshe says to Yoshua, not to worry. We should hope that everyone becomes a Navi, and then we'll have the ability to overturn a Gezerah that's a true Gezerah. Afilum nichtav, even if it's written down. Kevan shekol Yisrael yiyu Nevi'im, yavinu zos shetzadikim yicholin levat l'gzeira.
Once everyone knows the truth of the matter, then there's no concern of, again, the Navi getting a bad reputation, a falsified bad reputation. And we could say that the Tzaddikim are able to daven and overturn the Gezerah. Afilu im nemar la Navi min Hashem, even if the Navi is in fact a true Navi, ha Tzaddikim yecholim levatel. And even if the Navu is recorded, again, as long as the Navi's reputation is protected, then we can daven, the Tzaddikim can daven to overturn the Gezerah. So that's exactly what Moshe is hoping for. Moshe hears a report that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. He fears that, again, this may be true, and will certainly become more true, as we work our way through Bamidbar and Devarim, that reality will become even further ingrained in the minds of Moshe and Knesset Yisrael. But Moshe's hope is, as long as everyone reaches the status of Nevuah, and there's no concern that these Nevi'im are going to get a bad reputation for a false Nevuah, or for an accusation of a false Nevuah, then we have the ability to daven. And that gives new hope to Moshe Rabbeinu. And a brilliant interpretation of both our Psukim in terms of Yeshua and Moshe's conversation, and also our ability to hope for good things in the face of the Chevli Mashiach. V'zeu shadarshu chazal al ha-pasuk. Ata over hayom es hayartin. So this is what Chazal understood as well in the Medrash when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael in Devarim Perek Tes, "You are crossing today the Yartin." Moshe is hinting to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, that they will cross and he will not. Shemoshe pasach lahem pesach sheyavakshu l'rachvim sheyichanes laretz. Moshe is hinting to them, "I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to daven that maybe you could overturn that." Afsha Amar ki anochi meis, and even though Moshe earlier says to them in Devarim Perek Dalet, "I am going to die," seems to have thrown up his hands and surrendered to the fact that he's not going to go on Eretz Yisrael. Hainu shebenevius Moshe haminu kol Yisrael shebavada nevuas ames. Moshe Rabbeinu is paskening; he's revealing the nevuah, which Klal Yisrael certainly knew was a true nevuah, and yet Moshe is still at the same time hinting to them, but nonetheless, daven, try to daven to save me. Moshe was saying to them, "Listen, here's the truth of the Nevuah. And even if you daven to save me, I know you're not going to lose faith in me as the Navi, because Hashem, in all of your presence, assigned me as the Navi. So they'll believe in Tefillah, and they won't, God forbid, come to question Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah." So Moshe, on the one hand, could issue his Nevuah, could say, "Listen, as it stands right now, I am going to die." But at the same time, in Devarim Perek Tes, he can hint to them, "But please help me. Ata over hayom asiyar, then you're crossing and I'm not," hoping that they'll daven for him. And I'm not worried that it's going to lead to a misunderstanding of who Moshe is. Because Bnei Yisrael certainly knew who Moshe was, and they certainly knew the level of his nevuah. Rakshi Yisrael, but tfilasam bitlu agazera lafuch latova. Moshe was offering, was really beseeching them, a desperate plea, that Klal Yisrael should daven on his behalf and try to overturn that gezeirah, that nevuah, which was certainly a nevuah's emes. But again, that's the power of tefillah to overturn the gezeirah. Again, with the sensitivity that the Navi shouldn't be, God forbid, accused falsely. But again, any nevuah that has some uncertainty to it, and I think that's one of the most beautiful aspects of this piece that the Berditchever is saying, using the Rambam, to say that many of the passages in the Navi, as much as they're written down, we don't really understand them. And that gives us some room to try to reinterpret them, to renegotiate them, and to hope that, again, that the suffering of the Chevli Mashiach should be overturned and not, God forbid, come true for the Jewish people. Okay, we turn to the last piece in the Parsha. Again, in my edition, this is printed as the final piece in the Parsha, but it actually chronologically takes us back to Paraches. When the Levi'im take their position, when they're appointed, when they're assigned their position, the Torah says, "Ki nisunim nisunim heima li mitoch b'nei Yisrael," that the Levi'im are assigned their position, nisunim nisunim, they're being given over, nisunim nisunim, being given over to b'nei Yisrael, from b'nei Yisrael, I'm sorry, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to take on a unique role, replacing the firstborns. Levar pasuk halasho nisunim nisunim. So let's try to understand, what does it mean, nisunim nisunim? What does that mean, nisunim nisunim? Nisunim nisunim? Given over, what exactly does that mean? They were given over. Vanira derech mashul umalitza. Kasher yaviu matana lesar echad pachos ha'erech. So says the Berditchever, let's explain with a mashul. Imagine a person comes to bring a gift to an officer, to a nobleman, to an important person, but someone who's not so important. yeah, obviously it's appropriate to give a gift, and the fellow is appreciative of the gift. And because he's not the biggest officer, the biggest nobleman, he's not the greatest king in the world, he's a person who still has certain needs, physical needs, he actually appreciates the gift. He says, "Ah, oh, this is perfect, I could actually use a new fruit bowl, or I could actually use a new serving dish." But when you come to a person who's of such great wealth that there's really no gift in the world, no physical need that you could possibly fill on his behalf, the gift itself, another serving dish, thank you very much, it's a nice gesture, the gift itself doesn't mean much to me because I have everything that I need. In fact, I have many times more than what I need, he says. But what is chaviv to him? What does he appreciate? Yeh chaviv etzlo matana pechus kazuz. He can appreciate such a small thing when he has kamer of avos madregos. Seriously, he has so many levels upon levels of much greater gifts, much greater possessions. Ach chaviv etzlo hu nidvas libo shazeh nosein. But when he sees the sincerity with which this poshut individual brought the gift, and he sees that he went out of his way to buy the gift, and he knows for this poor fellow it was a great expense for him to purchase such a gift, that he desired to give a gift as an expression of his feelings for that officer, or for that nobleman, so that itself, right, the thought, so to speak, counts much more than the object itself. The feeling that he has, the chavivas that he has towards him, is again the way in which he gave it, and the feelings, and the simply the fact that he did give it, the fact that he wanted to give something. Again, what he actually gave is not that valuable, but the fact that he wanted to give means a lot to the one who's receiving. It's an expression of his appreciation for who the individual is, that he wanted, that it entered his mind to bring a gift, but it's not the gift itself, which is of great value. When it comes to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Kedushas Levi, that much should be very obvious to us. In terms of our ability to do things for Hashem, Hashem doesn't need anything. There's nothing we can actually give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh gabei Hashem Yisbarach Gamkein. When it comes to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, sheyikrivu levim lavodasu Yisbarach, the notion of a Levi serving Hashem, of doing for Hashem, ma betza lo behem. To say it very straight and very honest and very true, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything from us. Ma betzal olam. What does he need from us? What does he gain from us? Halo milafanav yachelu kol yoshvei seivel. First of all, Hashem has everything at his disposal. So he needs what? He needs the Levim to sing some songs to him, to play a secondary role in the Beis HaMikdash, that there should be Kohanim, Levim. What does he need any of it for? V'chol sarfei ma'ala omdim alav be'imu v'yira. More than that, how many countless angels stand on high with a proper aim of a year, lasas ritzon konam v'chefet tzuram, to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires of them? What does Hashem need basar v'dam for? What is it that we can possibly, he's asking a very fundamental question. What is it that we can possibly offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rak chaviv etzlo yisbarach masha'Allah b'daitan liskarev l'avadas yisbarach. But you know what does mean kiviyachol alat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This notion of tanug that the Kedushas Levi speaks of so often, giving a true pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what can we give Hashem that kiviyachol he's not able to give himself? And that is our desire to want to be close to him. The pratim, the details, the gifts that we offer, at the end of the day, Hashem doesn't really need them. But the fact that we, as basar v'dam, in a world of confusion, in Alma de Shikra, that we can choose to want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is what we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Reditcher, that's perhaps the double lashon of nisunim nisunim. Ki nisunim nisunim heima li mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Ki ha-nesina shalham. You know what the nesina is? You know what the gift that the Levim bring itself is? You know what the gift itself is? She'ala b'daitam. She'yikrivu v'yimsu la'avodasa, that they want to be close. Nisunim, you know what the nesina is? Nisunim, the fact that they want to be close. Zeh chosh of nesina etzla. That's considered giving me something, Hashem says. Again, it's all b'derech hafshar, kiviyachol. Right? Hashem doesn't really need that either. But to whatever degree HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to allow us to play this game with him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, at the end of the day, the specific thing that you quote-unquote offered me, I don't actually need. But the fact that there's basar v'dam, that there's human beings, again, in Alma de Shikra, who've been empowered with Bechira Chafshis, who continue to choose to want to serve Hashem, that's really giving Hashem something. I think this is part of the idea of HaKol B'nei Shemayim, Chutz Mi'Yira Shemayim. It's that decision of man to want to serve Hashem, which is really the ultimate and the only thing that we can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lo matana atzma, not the gift itself, rak haratzon shebo shenasa matana, the very desire to give the gift, the desire to serve Hashem. Zechav eitzel abore, that's what's precious in the eyes of Hashem. Val piza yivur mishnah davos, and based on this he explains in the next paragraph, we can understand the diuk in the second parak of Avos. The Mishnah tells us, be careful with an easy mitzvah as a difficult mitzvah. Easy and difficult presumably means the amount of effort that goes into it. So be careful to take a hard mitzvah, a mitzvah that takes a lot of effort, and a mitzvah that doesn't take much effort. Take them both very seriously because you don't know the reward for mitzvahs. Says the Reditchver, what do you need those last two words in the Mishnah for? She'ein ati yodeya matan tzcharen, it could have said. Why does it have to say she'ein ati yodeya matan tzcharen shel mitzvos? L'chora milas shel mitzvos miyusar. V'havi le'lomar she'ein ati yodeya matan tzchara. It could have just said, you don't know the reward. Why does it have to say the reward of mitzvos? We know we're talking about mitzvos. You just told me a second ago. Bizarre with a mitzvah kala and a mitzvah chamura. So it could have simply said she'ein ati yodeya matan tzcharen, because you don't know how a Kodesh Baruch Hu rewards. You don't know how a Kodesh Baruch Hu pays us for our efforts. Why do you need the last two words? Shel mitzvos. Yodeya matan tzcharen shel mitzvos. So he quotes, he references something he had explained earlier in Parshas Vayera. There's a Maimer Chazal in Masecha Shabbos that says, Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas k'ma amara, ein mevasver lo besura ra. When a person does a mitzvah as it's supposed to be done, so such a person will be spared, will be freed from any type of negative report, negative news. Okay, let's see what that means. Dine lashon mitzvos pei reshoshet tzivoy habore baruch hu v'chshmo. We don't think of it this way enough, but we should, that the very word mitzvah means that I'm fulfilling the will of the creator of the world. We're sometimes so busy with the details of picking the right lulav and esrog, of making sure my tefillin's in the right place, of warming up my cholent in the right way, that we forget that every time I do any of those things, it's a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, that it's a mitzvah, that I'm a mekayim tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. De'be'emes de'ba'asiyah atzma osa adam hakol atzma. Because in terms of the act itself is really for me. Why do I wear tefillin? To transform my body. Why do I shake a lulav and esrog? To hopefully, like we say in some of the tefillos, to bring the proper types of rains and the proper types of winds. And the way that it's explained in the Torah as an agricultural celebration, which is what all the Shlosh Regalim are about, the Fi Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why do I warm up that chulin on Shabbos in a halachic way so that I can enjoy the chulin? And by keeping Shabbos, I'm zochah to the reward of Shabbos. So the truth is, the mitzvos are really for me. The mitzvos make me a better person. There's many Mamari Chazal that express it in that way. And not only does it make me a better person, but it allows me to earn a reward. So which is the part that I'm doing for Hashem? What am I giving Hashem? Not giving Hashem the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin is a gift that I get to wear the badge of the melech upon myself, upon my flesh. Kamayim Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech seems to allude to an apostle. Imra tova kolo saliatzmo. It's not exactly a phrase from Mishlei, but Shlomo HaMelech basically says that if there's bad or good, whatever we do is really la'atzmo, is really for ourselves. So what is the part of any mitzvah, of any halacha that I follow, what part am I giving Hashem? And the answer is rak nachas ruach shel habore mizeh shemekayim kasher tzivo oso. Hashem enjoys the fact that you're listening to him, that you're fulfilling his will. It's not so much the tefillin being strapped to my head or to my arm, or it's not so much the lulav or esrog following the halachic dimensions that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu great pleasure. Those were gifts that were given to me. The gift is mine. What part am I giving Hashem? The fact that I care to spend all that time and money and effort to ensure that I do it in a halachic way. That's the nachas ruach that I give Hashem. Knowing that I'm doing His will, because it's His will, is the part that kivyachol He enjoys. Shirotze la'asas ratzon aboy, that I still care. But so many people unfortunately choose otherwise, but I still care to do what He requests of me, even if it seems strange or foreign in our world. V'zeu kol ha'osa mitzvah achas k'ma'amara. So He says, that's what it means, Shabbos samach gimel amad aleph. What does it mean, kol ha'osa mitzvah k'ma'amara? A person who does a mitzvah as it's stated. What does that mean? In accordance with the halacha? So the Bereshit says, no, k'ma amara, like the word means. Perish k'mosha omrim tevas mitzvah. If you do the mitzvah, and you think about what does the word mitzvah actually mean? De perish de hutzivoy habore. and I think about the fact that I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm doing a tzivoy of Hashem, and I'm doing it, as we've seen many times throughout the Sefer, this theme of the Berditchver that, again, I pointed out many times, is really the foundation of all of mitzvos, the way that we do mitzvos, the Rambam that we've mentioned countless times in Hilchos Tshuva, that if someone stops you and asks you, why do Jews blow the shofar? It's not to wake us up, but it's because God says so. It's also to wake us up, and there are many other reasons as well. But the basic reason we had a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Bahar, Vishav Sa'aretz Shabbos LaHashem, and the many other examples that we've mentioned throughout our learning of Kedushas Levi this year. To do it because Hashem says so. Right? To do the mitzvah with the awareness that what I'm doing is a mitzvah. That yes, I am doing the Ratzon Hashem by performing this act in this particular way. The benefit of the mitzvah itself, the object, the specific way I perform it is really self-serving. As Shlomo Malach hinting to that fact. It's the fact that that I'm able to want to do Hashem's will that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol something from my efforts. So again, when I do it with that kavana, lekayim mitzvah savore, to fulfill Hashem's command, oz ein mevasrin lo besurah. That's the promise that Chazal are making a person in Shabbos Samach Gimel Amaral. If you do the mitzvah with the awareness that I'm not doing it simply because the Shulchan Aruch says so, but because God says so, and I'm doing it because I'm pausing for a moment to recognize I'm doing it in fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, not something I saw in a halacha book, but I'm able to connect it back to the Shoresh, and I understand this is a tzivoy of the Borei Olam, so that such a person is accorded great reward for such a thing. So again, what we've taken from this, says the Berditchever, is that the primary way in which we give Nachas Ruach to Hashem is by fulfilling His command. Sherotze lasos ratzon habori. That we want to do what He asks of us. V'lachein. And if that's true, then is there really a distinction between an easy mitzvah and a hard mitzvah? A mitzvah that we do often, a mitzvah that we do occasionally. There should really be no difference. As long as it's part of the tzivoy Hashem, then it fulfills this goal of giving Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Hayotzi mizad the ikir nachas habori hu mash mekayim atziva shalo. Shirotza lasos ratzon habori. V'lachein ein chiluk ben osa mitzvah gedola o katana. There should be no distinction between a big mitzvah and a small mitzvah based on our mashal that we mentioned earlier. The king, the important king who has much more than his physical needs, doesn't care if your gift is big or small. It's still insufficient in terms of the actual gift. Bishlam alasara katan, the smaller officer we mentioned in the mashal. So when you give him a gift, yes, he still has needs, and he might appreciate a bigger present. He's focused on the gift itself. Ki hu ze hadavar shenosin lo. Shaper yesh chilek atzal. For him, there is a distinction between a big gift and a small gift. Kishamatanu yoser gadol chal vetzal yoser. When the gift is bigger, then the enjoyment he gets from it is bigger, because again, he doesn't have everything in the world. He doesn't feel that no gift is essentially good enough. Kevin Shirotza Matana Gufa, he wants the gift itself. Masha Einkin, we're dealing with a great officer, a greater king. All he wants is not the gift itself. She'ina Rotza Matana Gufa, he doesn't get anything from the physical object, he has it all already. Raka Ratzon Shalanosin, but what he does appreciate is, the willingness of the one who wanted to give, the bittul of the one who wants to serve him. Sha'allah bedas hanosein lasas lanachas ruach. U'memeila ein chiluk bein matana gedol l'katana. And therefore, there really is no distinction between a big gift and a small gift, as long as it's being given with a lot of heartfulness, a lot of thoughtfulness. So then the king is overjoyed to see that people respect him. Bein kach v'kach rotza lasas nachas ruach lo. Either way, the person who's giving is doing it because he loves the king. Kein gabay Hashem yizbarach. So all the more so when it comes to Hashem. Kein she'ikar hanachas shalaborei b'mashem akayim b'tzono va'osa rotza lasas nachas ruach laborei. When I say I want to be amongst those who give honor to Hashem, v'mei la'ein chilek bein gadol l'katana. It doesn't matter if I do a lot or if I do a little. The bottom line is whatever I'm giving Hashem is not gonna. Hashem doesn't need the offering itself. Hashem wants to see rachmana liba bay, as Chazal say. In Sanhedrin, I believe it's Avkovav. Kevan sharatzon shava bekol. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all, sharotza lasos ratzon abori, but when he sees that when the ratzon of the individual is strong, so that's the greatest gift of all. It doesn't matter if the the mitzvah itself is an easy mitzvah or a hard mitzvah, but he's doing it with a sense of tzivoy. And that's the diuk, and that answers the question of the Mishnah in Avos. Have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kibichamura. She'ina tiodea matan scharin shal mitzvos. Treat mitzvos equally because you don't know the value, what? Of mitzvos. Klomar. She'ascharu ba'atzum ba'avur ha'tzivoy. The reward that you're going to get, the true way of earning the reward, is to focus not so much on the let me say that carefully. Of course, one has to perform the mitzvah properly. And there's a big difference between the lulav that's split improperly and the lulav that's properly held together. And there's a big difference between the tefillin that's round and the tefillin that's square. I want to be very clear about that. Right? But in terms of, again, in terms of serving Hashem, as long as I'm fulfilling the halacha, it doesn't matter if it's a lulav or if it's tefillin. Right? What matters to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the part that Hashem, so to speak, benefits from, if you could say such a thing, or enjoys, if you could say such a thing, is again the fact that there's a sense of what? Of bittul to him. And that's ein ati yodea matan scharin shal mitzvos. Don't get caught up. It's a hard mitzvah. It's an easy mitzvah. The question you have to ask yourself, am I doing it because Hashem said so? And if I am, then I'm doing it right. And again, that's the nisunim of the Leviim. The Leviim are dedicating their dedication to Hashem. They're not actually giving their avodah itself. It doesn't matter one way or another. Again, we have to obviously do it the best we can. But in terms of Hashem's ability to benefit from it, Hashem doesn't need anything. Hashem gave us the mitzvot to refine ourselves. What does Hashem get from it? Hashem gets the heart that we put into it. Hashem gets the willingness and desire to do it and to continue to serve Him when, again, He has empowered us to choose otherwise. He concludes the piece in the final paragraph. He says, let's just go back to our psukim one more time in Paraches. Again, the pasuk says, Nisunim, Nisunim. But what happens right before that? It says, in preparing the Leviim, Zeu Kavanas HaKasuv, it's Paraches, pasuk Tezvav, how do we prepare the Leviim? It says, V'achrei Chein Yavo HaLeviim, dot, 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 V'tiarto Osam V'hinafto Osam Tenufa. Take the Leviim, purify them, sanctify them, wave them around. They undergo this lengthy process of Kedusha V'tara. And then the very next pasuk, Ki Nisunim Nisunim Heimali, Mitoch Bnei Yisrael. Because Nisunim Nisunim, they're given over to me. Explains the Berditchver. Why such an emphasis on preparing the Leviim? Lefima Shekasavti La'el, Sha'ikr HaChavav Eitzel HaBorei Hu, His Nad V'Zeratzon HaNesina. If at the end of the day, as we've explained above, the part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most focused on is the desire to serve Him, V'lo HaMatana Gufa, not the, again, gift itself, not the offering itself, L'Hachi Tzrichen She'haRatzon Berov Kedusha V'Tara. We need to try to make sure that however we're going to do it, the attitude we have towards the mitzvah, and again, the heart and the kavana that we put into the mitzvah, the hachana for the mitzvah, also the preparation that goes into the mitzvah, should be berov kedusha v'tara. Because that's the part we're really giving to Hashem. You could have the most kosher tefillin in the world, but you don't wear them with a sense of fulfilling the tzivoy Hashem, and you haven't really given Hashem much. You yourself have benefited from a beautiful mehudar set of tefillin, but you haven't given yourself over to Hashem because you're not fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem. You're not thinking about mitzvah Hashem. You're not thinking about tzivoy and ratzon Hashem. Because again, from the gift itself, Hashem has it all. That's what we're giving to Hashem. And therefore it's critical that the ratzon should be filled with tar and kedusha. And that's what our pasuk is emphasizing. Prepare the kohanim, purify them. And if you're wondering why is it such a big deal that the Leviim, they're performing such chashuv avoda, what more could they possibly need to do? What do they need all this preparation and this kedusha and the tara? You would think the avoda itself is the kedusha, is the tara. No, you have to understand what you're doing is not doing Hashem a favor. Ki nesunim nesunim heim ali. Realize as Hashem, shachavivas etzlo, hi anesina v'lo matana gufa. It's not the thing that you're doing. The size of your gift doesn't really matter. It's again, it's the intention that goes into the giving of the gift. And therefore, we want the Leviim to not be focused only on the significance, the size of their gift, so to speak, but to realize that they need to prepare themselves to give it wholeheartedly. Because again, the primary thing that Hashem desires is the giving, the way it was given. And therefore it needs to be with an unbelievable amount of preparation, of kedusha, and of Tahara. So two magnificent pieces, again, to close out the Kedushas Levi for Parshas Baal Oscha. The first piece, his creative explanation of how a Nevuah that seems to be written down can still be renegotiated, as long as we continue to hope to become Nevi'im ourselves, and that will not allow for any misunderstanding of the reinterpreted Chevle Mashiach that seemed to have been predicted by the Nevi'im. And the second piece of Nisunim, Nisunim Hema, which again I remind us of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita and Yovel, that even though, yes, there are Kohanim and Levi'im, and if you're Yisrael, as I am, there's not really an ability to change tracks. We can't join the Kohen or Levi track, but at the same time, the Rambam says a little bit you can. A little bit every Jew can be on the Kohen and Levi track, and certainly as the Torah says, Mamleches Kohanim, we all have to live with this awareness that what Nisunim Nisunim Hema Li Mitoch B'nei Yisrael, to give ourselves over wholeheartedly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to not only focus on the size of the gift, the stringencies of the particular mitzvah performance, or the difficulty of a particular mitzvah, or the ease of a particular mitzvah, but rather we should focus on what? The schar an shel mitzvos, to realize that the true schar, the true benefit that we'll get, and the true gift that we can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the realization that this is your mitzvah Hashem, and despite so many people in the world who are choosing otherwise, I continue to choose to work for you. Amir Tashem, we should practice these Torahs in a very, very real way every single day of our life. And in that way, we'll give tremendous nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.